My name's Sean Collier, here with Aaron Kliber.
Bingo.
We're at MacGuffin's, is the place that we are every week. We just never knew the name.
Yeah. Apparently, the Lowe's Club is not the Lowe's Club anymore.
No.
It's called MacGuffin's.
I like that. Hey, we're podcasting live from MacGuffin's.
Live from MacGuffin's.
And we're going to talk to you about Lights Out.
MacGuffin sounds like a cute group of creatures.
Like, we need to go into the forest and capture the MacGuffins.
We have to go meet the MacGuffins.
I was playing Pokemon Go. I caught 6 MacGuffins between here and the parking lot.
All right, our one reference to Pokemon Go.
All right, fine. Lights Out and Stranger Things this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, July 23rd, 2016. And just because Aaron made fun of Pokemon Go
I'm
going to look for a Pokemon right now. Maybe there's one in this room.
Dude, I didn't even...
You're a hater.
I'm not a hater.
What? Well, all right. Listen to Grown Dad Business last week's episode with Aaron Kliber and Jason Clark for all of Aaron's feelings on Pokemon Go.
I think it's just kind of ridiculous.
Look,
okay, we're not going to talk about this very long.
All right.
When you see grown-ups walking around, like not knowing anything around them,
yeah,
it gets annoying.
I will admit.
And in one day, I almost hit 3 people in my car.
I will admit, people need to be paying attention. There shouldn't be
accidents.
It's
absolutely ridiculous.
I am with you. I am with you 100% on that. I think that fundamentally, it's getting kids and grown-ups that like video games to go outside and explore their city. So great.
To go around and explore staring at a small screen. See, that's the problem. Everyone keeps saying that. So it's like, oh, it's getting people to go outside and completely ignore the world around them.
I think there's a little more than you think. If you look at where the Pokestops are, they're always like an interesting landmark or a historic marker. And like, yeah, probably 4 people out of 5 are not paying attention to that. But, you know, then the 5th one.
That one person is going to learn about Braddock's Landing?
Exactly. Exactly. And I just caught a Weedle. There's too many Weedles in the world, but you know, you can never have too many.
I think you can take a pill for that.
Yeah. I had a big weekend. I caught the Weedle.
I'm a professional comedian, guys. AaronKliber.com. Anyway. Check out Grown Dad Business, my podcast.
Well, who was on? That's 2 episodes ago. What went up?
No, yeah, last week was Jason Clark. I kind of alternate with Jason Clark. We do some Grown Dad topics. This week is my very funny friend, Ty Rivera. He's a gay Mexican comedian.
All right.
And he is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
He opened for me, which is silly.
Okay.
It's crazy. He's so good. He made me work all week in Oklahoma City. But he's a great story. And he just, I love how he just says what he wants.
Yeah.
And if you follow him on Facebook, he wants to vote for Donald Trump. Figure that out.
All right.
No, he's spectacular.
All right.
But he's pretty fun to talk to.
Yeah.
GrownDadBusiness.com.
Listen to that.
Yeah.
Listen to that. And look, we're going to tell, you know, I know that, you know, you might only be half aware of Lights Out, the horror movie, so we're not going to dwell on that for too long.
But people do know it.
But people
I think
do know
they
it. Because you saw the 3-minute version on your Facebook about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
There was a short called Lights Out. That was just a clever little horror short.
Right.
It went viral. Everyone was looking at it and got passed around on social media. And then it was picked up, as far as we can tell, basically by James Wan.
Yeah, James Wan scooped it up. And it was a good short. You may remember, like, this girl was like getting ready for bed and she turned the lights out and she saw like a silhouette. And then she turned the lights out and the silhouette got closer. And by the time she went into her bedroom and she actually turned the light on.
Yes.
And the creature was right in her face.
Yes. Just a quick hit little.
Yeah.
nice little,
scary little thing.
Exactly.
And it was good.
And it was picked up. And the really nice thing, the director of the short, his name is David F. Sandberg.
Which?
was allowed to direct the feature.
Yeah, which doesn't happen.
No.
I mean,
that's very, very rare.
And you know, yeah, it's because that's how it used to happen.
Right.
And so thank you, James Wan.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, honestly.
And the actor, there's one actress in the original short, is has a, yeah. Not a cameo, but a supporting role, you could say.
Yeah, gave her a part in the movie.
Yeah.
And she's foreign, and I believe... Dude,
is he Swedish?
Yeah, it's... well, he did do a short... Let me see if I can interpret this language. He did do a short called Vatist Dit... Yeah, it's probably...
Yeah,
Vatis Ditblev.
Right, that
that's
one.
Yeah, that sounds like Swedish
or
Norwegian. Actually, if I had to guess, I bet you it was Norwegian because Norway has been coming out with some really good horror films.
That's what I hear.
Because Norway came out with Dead Snow.
Right.
And Dead Snow 2. And they also did the Twins. What's that movie we saw?
Goodnight Mommy.
Goodnight Mommy, I think, is from Norway.
An episode on that.
Yeah.
Is that from Norway?
Come
on, IMDb. Austria. Hey.
Austria.
All right.
Do you know we're Austria? Good night, mommy.
Yeah. Right.
Good night, mommy.
Go listen to the... If you don't, I know you're not going to go back and listen to the whole Good Night Mommy episode.
No.
Pull that up and listen to the last 3 minutes for Missy Marino doing the Good Night Mommy theme song.
Because listen to the end of the Good Night Mommy podcast. Yeah,
But very cool that, you know, and this is, look, I mean, this doesn't happen all that often, but this is why you make short films.
Yeah, that's really cool, man.
Something hits and you get a Hollywood feature out of it.
Right.
And what they came up with is a tame but effective, quick hit little horror flick.
Hey, man, it was, you know, it's 81 minutes long. It's PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of, like, fun horror movies that came out, I think, in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
It's and these are the ones that we like. Like, the ones that I grew up with where I'm not like, oh, that's one of the best horror movies ever made.
No.
But some of these quick little hit horror movies, you're like, yeah, that was fun.
If you go back in time, this is the we're 15 and we're all going over to Dave's house and we're gonna stop at Blockbuster and rent Lights Out.
Absolutely.
And all the girls are gonna cuddle with the guys on the couch and jump when the monster shows up.
Yeah, and if
that's the kind of horror movie it is.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's definitely a date night horror movie. Yeah. If like, you know, I know I could not take my wife to this. She would not be into that. By the way, little fact about Aaron Kleiber.
Mm-hmm.
I was just telling our friends from Arcade Comedy Theater. I was hanging out with a couple of them a couple days ago. And we were talking about odd movies we went out on dates for.
Sure.
And when I was dating my wife, I took her to the movies to see American Psycho.
Oh, see, that's a bad move.
That was a bad move. I was being selfish. I really wanted to see it. And we had to leave.
Yeah.
We had to leave. She didn't. No.
I'm trying to think.
I think the chainsaw flying down the stairwell. Yeah. I think that was what did it.
I'm trying to think of something that inappropriate.
Yeah, you went on a date.
I mean, yeah. Let me think.
I saw Boogie Nights on a date.
Okay. That'll get interesting. I mean, I go to the movies so much that individual outings. I when I was about 15 or 16, if you were about 15 in the 90s and on a date, what you really wanted was a second run theater, $3 a ticket.
Our dollar movie. We used to have a dollar theater. People from Pittsburgh, you know, we used to have a dollar theater in West Mifflin, Maxi Saver Cinemas.
Yeah.
And we did, actually, talking about movies, we did, I mean, really go back and be very nostalgic about that because every city needs a second run theater.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's so awesome, man.
And it's not just for teenagers. I know a lot of good friends of mine, their Black Friday tradition would be to go to the dollar theater at noon and stay there till 10 p.m. and just keep, just pick three or four in a row and make it happen. I remember with the dollar theater, if you were like a 15-year-old on a date, you'd go to the 3 o'clock showing of, not the 3 o'clock, you'd go to the 7 o'clock showing of whatever and make out with your girlfriend through the first half of the movie and then watch the second half. And then just buy a ticket for the 9:30 and reverse it. Just catch the part of the movie you made out through.
Sure.
Double it up. I remember doing that exact thing with the Final Fantasy movie.
Oh, wow.
And I probably could have just made out through the whole thing because there's nothing you needed to see in the Final Fantasy film adaptation.
Right.
But yeah, that's... So for all of our 15-year-old listeners looking to make out with their significant other, lights out.
I mean, it's a fun thing.
The drive-in. Scared. It's the summer. This is a good drive-in movie.
It is a good drive-in movie. Well, no, there's a couple things I think we can talk about this movie. A couple of things you learn, you know, kind of digging into it a little bit more. The director used as much natural lighting as possible.
Very cool.
Which is pretty cool. And that includes, like, lamps and overhead lights and things like that.
Because the premise, if you have no idea what you're talking about, is basically there's a monster. The monster can only move in the darkness.
In the shadows.
Right.
Right. But he used as most natural light as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Some candle light.
Yeah.
One of the other things, too, that was really cool, I just looked this up, is that he used very little CGI.
Yeah.
Very little CGI. And, I mean, obviously, you can say you can see the monster.
Yeah, a couple of times.
I mean, there's a couple times where you see the monster, and it's definitely prosthetic.
Right.
It's not CGI.
Right.
And you might see in the trailer, there's like silhouettes of her in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real person. That is not... It is very easy to CGI a shadow with red eyes.
Yeah.
Not easy meaning it's easy.
Calm down, tech departments.
Yes. No, that's...
Right.
No laughing matter.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, they put someone in a costume.
Sure.
And, the actor is Diana. I guess that's the entity's name.
Diana.
We're not ruining anything, but okay. But Alicia Vila Bailey, Vila Bailey. She's a stunt woman, but she played one of the freaky chicks in The Purge.
Okay.
At the front door, remember?
Sure.
She played one of the chicks in The Purge.
The one we just saw or the older one?
No, the first one.
Okay.
Yeah, she was in The Purge. She's been killed in quite a few movies. She was a stunt woman in Batman vs. Superman. So, like, it's really cool that, you know, someone like her... it's cool when I think a stunt performer gets to do something a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
You know, and be a character.
Yeah.
And that was always the case. Like, that's always been a cool case with stunt people... with horror movies,
mm-hmm.
because they always kind of emerge. You know, you think of someone like Kane Hodder,
yeah,
who was just a stuntman, basically getting punched in bar fights in movie after movie. You know what I mean?
And now he can just go to conventions for the rest of his life.
He goes to conventions and sells autographs and takes pictures now
because he's Jason.
Because he is Jason Voorhees. He's been Jason the most times.
Yeah.
He hasn't been in everyone, but I think it's really cool when stunt people kind of get a bump like that and get a real character, and it shows how talented they are because they get picked to play this physical character, a character where most of the acting is kind of physical stunts or their physical being on stage or physical being on camera. You know what I mean? And these people know how to work that. And she, you know, now that I think back, and if that was a real person
mm-hmm.
walking around, it was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
She absolutely nailed it. And bringing up Kane Hodder provided me with my once a year excuse to see if that next Friday the 13th has been delayed again. IMDb thinks there's a Friday the 13th coming out January 13th, 2017.
Okay.
Could be.
But it's not Kane Hodder.
It also says in development, no cast. So that is not coming out in January.
Who knows, man?
Right? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a little too soon. That's 7 months.
Yeah.
Not even.
They've delayed this like five times.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I don't know who's going to get pumped about it.
Yeah.
At this point.
Else did I want to say?
Got a pretty good cast. Maria Bello is a fantastic actress.
Oh, she's a great actress. Awesome.
You know her from History of Violence, Prisoners.
Yeah.
Thank You for Smoking. She's the mom, the kind of tortured mom. in Lights Out. Teresa Palmer.
Kristen Stewart, is
the one that looks like Kristen Stewart. You probably know what I'm talking about by saying that. She was in I Am Number 4, and she was in...
She was in a bunch of stuff.
Warm Bodies, yeah. Triple Nine.
She was just in Triple Nine.
She was in last year's... Oh, no, she was in this year's Nicholas Sparks movie,
The Choice.
She
was in Point Break, too.
Point Break. When you see her in a trailer, you go, "Is that Kristen Stewart?" Oh, no, it's not.
You mean I say that?
Yeah. Oh, I do it every time.
I go, "Is that Kristen Stewart?" And it's like, "Oh my gosh, Kristen Stewart can act now."
Chris, she's good.
Come on.
Hey, what about that movie that we saw and liked and no one else saw? You know the one with Jesse Eisenberg, the stoner action flick.
American.
Yeah, that's it. That's the first word. American Ultra. That was good.
That was good.
No one ever said...
She's still kind of bland.
I've never heard a human being say a word to me about that movie.
That's funny that you mentioned American Ultra. That's pretty cool.
We did an episode on it.
I know. This is totally pretty good. I forgot about it.
Yeah.
Totally forgot about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens.
There was the kid who plays the kid in it.
Gabriel Bateman is his name. Yeah,
and he's
handled
done a lot of good stuff.
And 6 Degrees, he was the kid in Annabelle.
Yeah.
And again, this guy makes a nice little horror short, and now he's making money. Now David Sandberg will direct Annabelle 2.
Yeah, pretty rad.
Good for him.
See, here's the thing too. It was a pretty decent structure. It was. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it was so cookie cutter, like a cookie cutter horror movie. But they hit all the right punches.
Yeah.
And they didn't get crazy. That's what happens a lot of times. They just think too hard.
It just goes kooky.
They're like, hey, we have 5 ideas. Let's do 6.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And there was a plot point that you and I thought, oh, we see this coming from a mile away, which didn't happen. So, I mean, that's not really playing with expectations, but it's at least not doing the most obvious
right.
thing. And no spoilers. The ending, I did not see coming.
Nope.
And had a big, like, whoa moment at where they went at the end.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's just good to see. And, I mean, look, 81 minutes is the runtime for that credits. It's nice to see a horror story told in, like, basically an hour 15.
Yeah.
In and out.
Well, I will give credit to the other writer that wrote it with the director, Eric Heisesser. That's his name.
We'll figure out what country.
I'll figure out what country these people are. No, he's born in the United States.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
That was racist against.
But before this, he wrote
Northern Europe. All right.
He wrote that last Paul Walker movie, Hours.
Oh yeah.
He also wrote The Thing, which was
the remake.
The remake was pretty decent. Final Destination 5, and he also wrote a Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
That is yet to appear, or
no, the 2010.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah, that I look
it was not bad.
I thought it was
not
fine.
Bad.
I absolutely
well,
thought it was
this guy
fine.
Wrote 2 pretty decent remakes.
Yeah,
so
he knows what he's doing.
Good for him.
Yeah,
I think James Wan found a good writer.
I agree.
So
that's that.
That's about it.
Look, look.
So, go see it.
And here's why we're talking about this, not talking about Star Trek. And I'm going to go behind the scenes just a little tiny bit. I reliably get a screening of usually 2 new movies a week, sometimes 3. That's about the ratio.
We usually have to try to, pick one that we're going to do together.
For some reason, this is not the first time it happened and won't be the last. The big thing, the studio behind it just decides, we don't need to screen this in every market. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're not talking about Star Trek 3, Star Trek Beyond. I don't know how much more I would have had to say about that. I thought the J.J. Abrams Star Trek was really good. The one after that was okay.
The first one was decent. The second one was whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's happened a couple times this summer. We didn't get a screening of Independence Day. And it happened with Star Trek. So we're talking about Lights Out. But Aaron has absolutely lost his mind for Stranger Things, the Netflix series. And in this week's Extra Butter, after the break here, he's going to make me feel bad because I haven't watched it yet.
Will you go home tonight and watch the first episode?
Do you want to know why I won't? Because I've got to watch my DVR of the WWE draft?
We'll be back after this break.
Word from the Epicast Network.
Jeez, man.
Hey, yo, I'm Ed Bailey. I'm here with
Dave Bracey.
And we are the Drinking Partners Podcast on Epicast Network. Fucked it up. Make sure you check us out, man. We got the Comedy Fuel, which is really supposed to be Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast, but...
Craft Fuel Beer Potter. Craft Fuel... Craft Beer Fuel Pot... Motherfucker, all right. Man. I'm going to have to write that down.
What up? Craft Fuel Beer Podcast.
Yeah, Craft Fuel...
Craft Beer Fuel Comedy. Those are not four words that you say normally. All right. Craft Brew, you knew that I was going to fuck up. You knew. Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast. All right, so Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast on.
You can find us on epicastnetwork.com/partnerspod. You can find us at partnerspod on Facebook, Twitter, and IG. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Libsyn under Drinking Partners.
Yo, if you ain't heard and if you don't know, Drinking Partners is the crew. Epicast is the family. Make sure you check us out, man.
And we're back.
Hey.
Aaron, what do you got going on this weekend?
Well, if you're listening today, Friday, I'm at Arcade Comedy Theater tonight.
Tonight.
8 p.m., Danny and Aaron bring the heat. It's a stand-up showcase. Shannon Norman will be playing the part of Danny Palumbo.
Ah, Danny is unavailable.
Danny is doing some shows, and he had to get out of here, go back to Austin, Texas, and do some awesome shows.
Mm-hmm.
But 8 p.m., an awesome stand-up showcase at Arcade Comedy Theater. And then 10 p.m., I'm hosting my stand-up comedy game show, Comic Wars, 10 p.m., tonight, really, if you're listening this Friday.
Big today. Night at Arcade. If for some reason you're in the Uniontown area and can't get to Pittsburgh for those shows,
sure.
I will be at the Uniontown Country Club tonight. Ooh. Look at that. It's a country club gig. Ooh. I might get some like cheese and...
You might get shrimp cocktail.
I might get shrimp cocktail. There might be a dip of some kind.
Wow.
Might be an open bar situation. I have to...
Well, it's not bad.
Complete diversion. This is a complete diversion. Really quick.
I'm all right with it.
For a long time, I've made fun of people who go nuts for an open bar at a wedding. Because I'm like, whatever. I'm a grown-up. I can afford drinks.
Sure.
And then Saturday, I was at a wedding. Two local improvisers, Steve Gottschalk and Renee Ravenold. Beautiful couple. Beautiful wedding.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, I was like, you know what? I'm going to Uber and see what happens.
Yeah.
And now I just want to go to weddings all the time because.
Well, here's the thing: like I've been to weddings with a bunch of comedian friends.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Oh, and when you're at a wedding with a bunch of like entertainment friends,
when you have a bunch of funny people in an open bar,
It is good times. Mm-hmm.
So my problem was not with the open bar all along. My problem was with the boring people around the open bar.
You
get the right crew.
Yeah, dude.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's good times.
Beautiful. And tomorrow night, this is the big plug. Look, if you're anywhere near the Pittsburgh area, tomorrow night is the next DVE-loaded show at Club Cafe. That's Saturday, July 23rd, 10 o'clock, Club Cafe on the South Side. Here's why I love this lineup. You know why I love this lineup?
Why?
It's always, every loaded show lineup is killer. With this one, what we have is basically three headliners... guaranteed headliners and four kind of up-and-comers.
Yeah, that's cool. It is a good lineup.
I mean, Gene Collier, he's my dad.
He's kind of a dick.
T-Robe.
Kidding.
And Chuck Krieger. All three of them can headline anywhere, any night.
They've all headlined the Improv.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we've got four... you can't call James J. Hamilton an up-and-comer. He's been around forever.
But don't know him.
But a lot of people don't know who he is.
And they should.
One of the smartest... comics. Absolutely. In Pittsburgh. Jesse Irvin, the guy coming up strong.
From Race to the Coffin comedy tour. You might have heard of that.
Our friend Colin Chamberlain.
Super funny young guy.
And Blair Parker.
Yeah.
Who does Comic Wars all the time, has done a bunch of those with you.
She's on Comic Wars Friday.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So, you're getting three absolute killer headliners and four people who, if you don't know their names, you should.
Yeah.
And that is, and $10. $10. Get your tickets now at clubcafelive.com. Yeah. And Aaron is going to tell you about saving some money on your next journey for work or pleasure.
Real quick, shout out to a friend of ours, Ignite Hospitality. This I think podcasts are supposed to be like, this podcast is sponsored by Ignite Hospitality. But Ignite Hospitality is awesome. If you are a musician, an entertainer, a comedian, what they do is they barter a deal for you with hotels, and they get you the best deal they can get you, all for giving some shout-outs on social media.
Yeah.
I'm serious. You write a Yelp review. You write a TripAdvisor. You know, tell people on Facebook how awesome your trip was, how awesome your stay was, and you'll get a good price.
And look, if you are one of those people, if you're a musician, you're a comedian, you're on the road, you're an actor,
I'm telling you,
always popping around, people with some followers, you're looking at your social media and posting stuff 5 hours a day anyway.
Yep.
You take a couple of those minutes, and I'm sure we're not supposed to give the dollar figures. Aaron has told me some of the rates he has paid.
The one I've been telling people, next week I'm performing in Chicago at the Comedians You Should Know on the 27th. It's one of the biggest shows in Chicago. And then Thursday the 28th, I'm performing at the Laugh Factory in Chicago. And I got a downtown Hilton for $40 a night.
I've spent that much on Fritos this week.
Dude, it's a $300 a night hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, and it also has to do with like your social media following.
Right.
It's like an algorithm.
Right.
You know, but it's pretty rad. I mean, you can't beat it. I just booked a night in Nashville for $24.
See, this is craziness.
I know.
This is craziness.
Well,
where do people go to find it?
Ignite Hospitality Services, the Hotel Bartering Network. They talk about that. But you can look up Ignite Hospitality on Facebook and talk to Adam Wagner, and he'll hook you up.
Now, to get to our extra butter.
Yeah.
To be fair, you've been telling me for 5 days. One of those days I was at a wedding, and the next I was hungover, and I've done some work in between. But
yeah, let's talk about this real quick.
You went nuts for Stranger Things like I haven't seen you go nuts for any show or movie I can remember. And you're praising something that I should watch pretty much every week. And I don't know if I've ever heard you respond so enthusiastically.
If anybody follows me on social media, I have blown this apart.
Yeah.
Because I was really excited about the trailer. I saw the trailer a couple months ago, maybe about 2 months ago. And I love the idea of like the kids, you know, being involved in this kind of like monster story. Obviously, this is spoiler free. I'm not going to give away too much. But it was really cool to have like, you know, this... You know, it seemed like in the 80s, and these kids involved in this kind of monster story. Well, I love Monster Squad. I love Goonies.
Sure.
And one of the things that hooked me not only was like that monster story with the kids involved, but also the trailer's music was really cool, like 80s throwback electro.
A little It Follows?
A little It Follows. Uh-huh. If you're more familiar with Blade Runner.
Okay.
Vangelis.
Yeah.
I have some of his music. I used to be obsessed with Blade Runner soundtrack back in college.
I'm upset. I'm not to interrupt you. I'm pissed that I missed that John Carpenter thing.
Me too, man. I had a show.
But
I couldn't do it.
Here's a shout out. Those his two albums, Lost Themes 1 and 2, are on Spotify.
Yep.
They are brilliant. Put it on at work.
Let me tell you
at the
something.
Gym, while you're driving around, and want to creep yourself out. It's so good.
If you like John Carpenter's Lost Themes, and if you like that 80s electro, the soundtrack will blow your effing mind
for Stranger Things,
dude. Let me just tell you real quick. It's 8 episodes long.
Hours.
8 hours. I knocked it out in 48 hours. Now, of course, I was alone in Tampa performing every night.
Right.
So I had all day. And then after a show, I couldn't wait to watch another episode of Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
The title sequence is one of the best title sequences I have ever seen. And I will tell you, every single episode, I watched the entire 1 minute title sequence.
Really?
Never fast forwarded it.
Huh.
Every time I watch it, it sent chills down my spine. It's right. such a good title sequence. And you know what else I did? I watched it all the way to the credits.
Wow.
You know how on Netflix, when it goes up to the little box, and it's like the next episode is playing in 15 seconds?
You went back and you clicked back on the credits to see the credits
more? I nibbed it.
Uh-huh.
I nibbed it.
That's a verb?
And I listened. What is it? It's an improv. It means no. Nib.
Oh.
Yeah. Get it together.
Yeah.
I clicked back and put the screen on and listened to every single second of music in the credits, credits.
Okay, give me the, and some people might not, you know, if they don't have you on Facebook.
Yeah.
Give me the, hit
well,
me with
I'm
the
gonna
premise.
Hit you a couple things.
Hit me with the premise.
So basically, a young boy disappears, and his mother, who is played by Winona Ryder, who I hope will not be forgotten next Emmy season, because this is the best I've ever seen her.
Really?
Oh,
okay.
I mean, as a parent, I mean, she was fantastic. I mean, from episode one.
Now, I mean, you would know better than I would at this point. Is this getting a reaction among our people, or is this getting the Orange is the New Black House of Cards, this is brilliant reaction?
I don't think not yet.
Okay.
I'm starting to see some like AV Club articles on it. But I know as soon as I blew it up and texted like you, Chris Prexta, Mike Rubino, our friends that have all been guests on here, I hit up a bunch of friends and I went crazy on Facebook. And now it's like, since I've watched it and pimped it out, I feel like at least 30 or 40 people have watched it that I told them to.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
I'll get on it soon.
You're the person who reviews movies.
See, that's a TV show. That's the difference there.
You son of a bitch.
I know.
You
no, you're
son
right.
Of a bitch.
You're right.
No, Winona Ryder is the mother. And so basically, a boy disappears. Winona Ryder's son disappears. And this mom, Winona Ryder, a sheriff, and his little elementary school friends have to confront some really terrifying things, both human and not human, just to get this little boy back.
Okay, get me close here, because here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of Super 8.
Yep. I will say
I like Super 8.
Here's what I will say. All of these things, and if you like any of them, you will love Stranger Things.
I'm also thinking of It.
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
I will say the first couple things I've said. This is what I've broken it down to. It is Stephen King meets Steven Spielberg meets John Carpenter.
Okay, yeah, that'll work.
That's the best for cinephiles, movie fans. It is Stephen King meets Steven Spielberg meets John Carpenter.
Is Stephen King involved? Is this a Stephen King thing?
Nope.
It just has that look. All I've seen is the poster and that. That looks like a Stephen King movie from 1987.
Has a Stephen King look. It feels like John Carpenter, and the story feels like Steven Spielberg.
All right.
There are elements. There are a lot of shots.
Yeah.
That feel like Steven Spielberg. I know Chris Prexta is obsessed with Steven Spielberg.
Right.
And this is blowing his mind. That's why I texted him and you immediately.
You did.
Kurt Wooten. I texted all you guys like, you need to watch this now. And Kurt Wooten loves it too, but Pittsburgh Dad.
Right.
Because he likes nothing.
Yeah, he's tough.
He is head over heels for this as well.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot recommend it highly enough. The cast of kids, there's a girl in this who, Millie Bobby Brown, I know.
Okay.
But she has been in a couple things, but blew people away in the movie Intruders. She was Once Upon a Time, that TV show, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But this girl... I'm going to make a bold statement here. This is Natalie Portman in The Professional.
Wow.
I cannot believe this girl's 12 years old. She is, I mean, I'm thinking about it getting chills.
Huh.
She's so good. It's crazy she's 12 years old.
And is it you know, adventure-y or is it horror?
Yes.
Or is
it is everything, man. It's got a little bit of that 80s Goonies, you know, It... The kids in Monster
Squad.
But
it's a serious business.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's like an X-Files element that comes in. Then there's like an E.T. type of government element that comes in. And then the style.
Yeah.
Is so, I mean, they're using these 80s electro music.
Yeah.
It's just you know, that like yeah. John Carpenter-ish
yeah.
electro. I mean, dude, it is so creepy
mm-hmm.
and so good, and it's such a great adventure. And dude, it is so well written.
Yeah.
I mean, everything they do has a plan. Everything they do has motivation.
Well, that's why, you know, that's why, yeah, even stuff like, what, you know, I was tearing through Arrested Development recently just because yeah. I never have. And you see yeah. how much better TV yeah. is when it's 8 or 10 or
absolutely.
12 rather than 21, right. 23, 24 episodes.
Right.
Because, you know, you can't have writers make things tight over that many, but when it's right. 8 or 10, that you can really make that happen.
Well, I'm going to throw this at you real quick.
All right.
So you're asking, you're wondering, who made this?
I am wondering that.
It is, get this, it's the Duffer Brothers.
Who are they?
D-U-F-F-E-R, the okay. Duffer Brothers, Matt and Ross Duffer. These guys, my phone just froze.
Ross Duffer sounds like he's the guy that comes over to fix your vacuum.
Yeah, Ross like, Duffer, how you doing?
Grandma knows Ross Duffer.
Well,
he's been fixing the vacuum
what,
for years.
I know enough about them.
Okay.
I've scoured. Yeah, my phone just froze.
That's all right.
But I've scoured the internet. Nope. Matt and Ross Duffer. This is their first series.
Uh-huh.
But they made a movie last year, which, by the way, I watched on Sunday night. It's called Hidden.
Okay.
I tell you what, I really love apocalyptic movies.
Sure.
And I've never heard of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. It is...
Hidden.
Let me just throw this at you. It is Cloverfield Lane.
Okay.
10 Cloverfield Lane meets 28 Days Later.
Huh.
Dude.
Am I looking at it? Alexander Skarsgård's
yep.
in it?
Yep.
Huh.
Small cast.
Yeah.
If you like 10 Cloverfield Lane, you're going to like this. If you like any kind of apocalyptic movie, you're going to like it. It is well worth getting to the end.
Is that, is that on Netflix? Is that somewhere where people can see these?
Nope.
Okay. Let's leave it at that. But I'll bet you it's either on Amazon,
you can find it.
Or, Amazon
you can find
or Google
it.
Play or something.
Yeah, you can find it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, man, I was like, how have I not seen this?
Mm-hmm.
It pissed me off that I didn't see it.
Well, you know, that's a whole other conversation because
yeah.
you know how I mean, how many movies like that come out every year and just pass
yeah.
and
well, that's why
you know you take a swing at one every now and then on your Netflix
well,
or on demand.
Well, that's why like
and,
when I see movies come up mm-hmm. on Netflix and it's some horror movie and it has like, you know, three stars or more,
right?
I'm watching it.
Yeah.
I'm watching it and I've found quite a few that I really enjoyed that I never even heard of. For instance, like Session 9.
Oh, my
brother. With David Caruso.
Somehow my brother saw that when it came out and lost his mind. And I don't think I've sat down to watch it.
Dude, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, the Duffer Brothers, they made this movie, Hidden, and they came from, they made a couple shorts. They wrote a couple shorts. They directed a couple shorts. There are two shorts you can actually watch on Vimeo.
Huh.
One is their first one, We All Fall Down, and then a second one called Eater. You can watch them. They wrote a couple other ones. Abraham's Boys, Road to Moloch. Moloch is a demon, by the way.
Right.
Cool. And Vessel. Yeah, you can see the theme in all these
yeah.
dark, like alien yeah. monster movies. But they were writers on Wayward Pines.
Oh, okay.
Which I tried to get into, but a lot of people said that it turned into shit.
All right.
Because it's, you know, M. Night Shyamalan produced, so
anything
he touches turns to shit. But what's interesting is I'm now thinking about Wayward Pines, and I'm seeing
mm-hmm.
I'm seeing Hidden, and then I'm watching Stranger Things, and I'm like, wow, man. Like, they could have really helped Wayward Pines if they let them.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just some short filmmakers.
Right.
But they've liked him enough where they let him be writers on Wayward Pines. But now they're making their own stuff. And I tell you what, man, after Stranger Things, I cannot wait to see a feature in the theater by these guys.
All right.
I cannot wait.
I'm looking to see what I got coming up to see when I can sit down with this.
Well, I'm telling you, man, check it out. And you know what's cool too is I want to give a shout out to a cool electro band that I discovered.
Okay.
Code Electro.
All right.
And now all I've been listening to is Vangelis. All I've been listening to is Blade Runner and Stranger Things and John Carpenter.
Uh-huh.
Like, also, by the way, you're going to realize how much of a nerd I am for this series. The soundtrack is actually really great. Now, I'm talking about the score.
Yeah.
The kind of electronic right. score. But there's an amazing soundtrack to it.
Okay.
A lot of 80s music.
Mm-hmm.
I actually put together the first soundtrack playlist on Spotify.
Hey, look at you.
Dude, I was searching.
You're a super fan. You're going to go to the convention. You're going to start the convention.
Dude, I was like, dude, I want to listen to all the music they're picking for this. It's mm-hmm. great choices.
Yeah.
And it's really great music supervisor. Good for whoever. It's a woman, I think. I think I looked it up. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was really alone this week.
All right. So see Aaron at Stranger Thing Con 2019. It's going to be at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center in downtown Pittsburgh.
Bro, I'm telling you, man, I have not liked something like this probably since, I would say, Insidious. And I know people are like, whoa, wait a second.
No, you don't know how Aaron felt about Insidious.
I was really excited about Insidious, and I love James Wan. And, yeah. So this weekend, if you're going to stay at home, watch Stranger Things, don't plan on making out.
No.
Because I'm telling you, I've had over 2 dozen people on Facebook that I recommended it to, and they said, most of them said, either the first episode or minutes into the first episode, they cannot stop. My friend in L.A., so funny, a comedian friend of mine, Carlos Rodriguez, really funny guy, he was like, dude, I have to watch this. And he actually does mini movie reviews on his Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And he might have a blog. I don't remember what it is. But he goes, dude, you've been talking about this for like 2 days. I got to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
He said he started it on Saturday night at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
He said he went to bed at 7 a.m.
Yep, that'll happen.
He said he could not stop.
All right. Here's what I'll tell you. I will get through it before our next episode.
Thanks.
8 episodes?
Yeah.
I can make that happen.
Yeah.
All right. I'll get through it before our next episode, which you have free next Tuesday? Week from tonight?
Yeah, bud.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're not going on the road to something?
I'm going to Chicago on Wednesday.
Okay. Then, hey, next week, Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
I don't know if I care or not.
I know. Matt Damon's getting old skin.
Yeah.
It's getting old.
So we'll talk about Jason Bourne next. I mean, there are people in the world who feel about the Bourne movies
like they do about James Bond.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly. So
whatevs.
I think I've probably seen all of them, but I couldn't tell. If you asked me to tell you everything,
which
I know,
one is number two? I'm like, I don't know.
If you asked me to tell you everything I remember about the Bourne franchise, I would be able to speak for 45 seconds, maybe.
You're absolutely right.
And 20 of those seconds, I would probably actually be talking about Mission Impossible. But, you know, it could be fun. Could be fun.
It's funny.
Don't you feel like the summer movie season is just over? Because it started
in
March with that Batman Superman.
It's funny
because
I just told my wife, she goes, what are you going to see tonight? And I said, oh, lights out, this horror movie. And she was like, oh. And I was like, oh, yeah, summer's done. It'll pick back up in the fall. Oscar season.
Suicide Squad in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So
we got a couple fun things. We'll see if DC can get their head out of their ass.
All right.
I'm excited to see Jared Leto.
I was thinking that watching the preview tonight.
I'm excited to see Jared Leto.
I think
I want to see him play Joker. I
just want to see Joker and Harley Quinn.
Me too.
Hanging out.
Absolutely.
If
she calls him Mr. J, that's all I need.
I want them in a diner
Mr. J.
I want them just having fries in a diner for 2 hours. Make that the movie, and it'll be better, because you know what? That would have been better than Batman v Superman.
I mean, Margot Robbie and Jared Leto, that's great casting for those two.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, I'm down.
All right.
I think it does have six many two characters.
Sure. You could have just done the standalone Joker movie. There's an idea.
Right?
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, FYI, I saw the Magnificent Seven trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty excited.
All right. Coming later this year.
Yeah.
On You Can't Handle the Truth.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
@SeanCollierPGH
and @AaronKleiber. That's Kleiber. KLEIBER. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.